July 10th. Jesus says, "Listen, Maria, do you know the parable about that father who had two sons? One says, 'Yes, my father,' and then does nothing. The other says, 'No, my father,' and then does what the father asks of him? I don't want to have you meditate here on the duties of sons and daughters and the beauty of obedience. No, I will only say that this father was perhaps not a model father. Let a proof of this be that the sons did not love him. One lies, the other responds with a refusal which he later overcomes with supernatural effort. Not all sons and daughters are perfect, but it is also true that not all parents are perfect. The commandment states, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever violates it sins and will be punished by divine justice. But justice would not be justice if it did not use the same measure towards those not honoring their children. To honor in ancient language means to treat a person with reverential respect. Now, if it is right and proper to honor those who have given us life and have provided for our needs as babies and children, it is no less true that parents must also honor the children that God has granted them to have and that he has entrusted to those creatures who have procreated them so that they will raise them in a holy manner. Too often fathers and mothers do not consider that they become the depositaries and guardians of a prodigy of God the Creator. For every new existence is a prodigy of the Creator. Too often parents do not think that within that flesh begotten of human flesh and blood there is a soul created by God that must be raised for a doctrine of spirit and truth in order to be handed back to God again in worthy fashion. All children are a talent entrusted by the Lord to a servant of his. But woe to that servant who does not bring children to yield fruit, leaves them idle, showing no interest in them, or, even worse, disintegrates stash and corrupts them. If God, in a tone of severity, is to require an explanation of those not attending to increasing the value of a talent, and inflict a lengthy punishment on those dissipating and killing the soul of a child, God, the master and judge of all that is, by an inexorable verdict, will inflict eternal punishment upon parents slaying the most valuable part of children, their soul. This concerns generalities. Now we shall turn to specifics. Do you know how you should love your mother in order to be able to go on loving her? With an exclusively spiritual love. The other is useless. She does not see it, does not understand it, and does not feel it. And she tramples upon it, making you bleed in your humanity, I thus tell you. Love her only spiritually, that is, love and work for her poor soul. And I won't say anything more, for you are a daughter, and I don't want you to be lacking in honor towards a mother. I am God and judge. I could do so. But with you, I do not want to do so. Even if a parent is at fault, that parent should be respected, because of being a parent. Love her poor soul. She greatly needs your charity as a daughter. With respect to eternal life, the fathers and mothers who sin against their children need their children's help, and their children's forgiveness in order for their punishment to be mitigated. Reflect a great deal about what I say without my needing to add anything else. If you pause to consider her as a woman, you cannot honor her. I agree. But consider that she is a soul, that is a daughter of God, and very, very, very rudimentary your charity as a daughter should work to make reparation for her deficiencies. You must enrich her, so that she will not present herself as too poor before God the judge. You have mercy on the infirm and love for little children. But what spiritual childishness is greater than your mother's? And what spiritual infirmity is greater than your mother's? Embrace her dark and dull spirit, then, and lift it up towards the light. Spiritual love is hard. I know, but it is love with perfection. It is the love I had for so many, while I was a mortal. I knew who would betray me. I knew who would deny me. I knew who would flee in the tremendous hour. Nothing was obscure for me. Well then, I accomplished immeasurable prodigies of spiritual love, for my flesh and my blood trembled with repulsion when they felt cowards, deniers, and especially the traitor, to be close to them in order to try to save their spirits. I saved many that way. Only those completely possessed, I say completely by the devil, were resistant to my lavisher of spiritual love. The others, possessed by one passion alone, were saved before or after my death. Judas, Annas, and some others were not, for the seven princes of the demons held them in their clutches with seven ropes, and cohorts of demons were in them to carry out the work that made them gems of hell. Love like this. You will do your duty, and show yourself before me as a true disciple. In regard to her, leave the office of judge to me. Go in peace, dear soul, and do not sin. And a word and a caress were really needed. For if I were to truly look at her humanity, it would be necessary to escape to the summit of Mont Blanc. This last passage was dictated to me at 7 in the morning, and at 11 my mother's unjust, cruel overbearance was unleashed to the point that I nearly went to the Creator. Didn't I tell you yesterday that she is in a ferocious phase? I wasn't exaggerating. Now that she has made me feel bad, it is evening, and my heart is still unsettled. According to the doctor, I have risked death. She is content. Amen. I obey Jesus and offer this physical and moral pain for her soul.